All right, there we go. We got this. Like I said, folks, it is a blessing to be with you. It's always a blessing to see churches that are still standing strong, churches that are still standing on the right stuff. As missionaries, I think one of the things that hurts the most and one of the things that boggles our mind is coming back to churches who support that we once thought were solid churches and go back and be like, what happened here? Thanks for supporting, but what happened? This is not the same place we came, you know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, or whenever it was. And the music here, right on. And the preaching, well, I hope I do okay. Hopefully it's right on too. But that it's just exciting, folks. And you may laugh, but I'm serious. If you have done any traveling and been in different churches, it's Baptist isn't what it used to be. And Baptist here seems to be what it used to be. Amen. But tonight I'd like to speak or preach on the function of a lighthouse. The function of a lighthouse. How many of you have ever been to a lighthouse? Okay. Now, there's one thing about going to a lighthouse, but how many of you like are fanatics about lighthouses? Just okay, thank you. Thank you for not leaving me alone. I love lighthouses. When my wife and I were on deputation and we went up the East Coast and some here on the West Coast, we saw some lighthouses. And she knew that any sign that we would see lighthouse, she knew we were pulling over. And we put over, we look at them. And as I was thinking about it, you know, there are all sorts of lighthouses. Some lighthouses are tall. Some lighthouses are short. Some are real narrow. Some are kind of chunky. Some are new, modern, state of the art. And some are just old fashioned. Some are in areas where there's a lot of people. There's a lot of stuff. And then some are out just in the middle of nowhere on a rock in the middle of the ocean. But they all serve the same purpose. And I think I narrowed it down to three basic purposes the lighthouse has. Whether it be small or big, old or new, skinny or fat, where they may be, the purpose of a lighthouse, the function of a lighthouse, is to be a beacon of hope. The purpose of a lighthouse is to shed or shine light, bring light to dangers in the midst of the darkness. And the purpose of the lighthouse is to show the way, to show the way. Anywhere you look at it, those are the three main purposes the lighthouses have. It's not just, you know, for people to pull over and look and just be, wow, you know, or to take your money because sometimes you got to pay to go get close to the lighthouse. No, they actually do serve a purpose. And just as the lighthouses serve a purpose, folks, we have purpose to do or to serve as Christians. If you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Matthew chapter number 5. And while you're turning, I apologize, to Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 14, I'd like to tell you a quote. It says, "A lighthouse does not shine to show its light. It just shines to fulfill a purpose." A lighthouse doesn't shine to show off. It just shines to fulfill a purpose. And folks, that should be something that we apply in our lives. Do I shine to show off? Or do I shine just to fulfill the purpose God has for my life? The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter number 5, verse 14, it says, "You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity we have to gather here tonight, Lord. I pray that you just use me as a vessel to be able to present your word and this message, that it may be an encouragement to those that are listening and hearing right now. We thank you for all the things that you're doing through this church, and it is in Jesus' name we pray, amen. So now that you have this idea of what we're supposed to do, we're supposed to be a light, to shine. And it says that our Father, which is in heaven, may be glorified. So once again, we shine to fulfill a purpose. We don't shine to show off. Some folks are willing to do something in the church because they know that they're going to be noticed. Clean toilets? No one sees me cleaning toilets. Being a bus captain? They see that. Sunday school teacher? In the choir? But vacuuming? No. They're just as important, folks. People like coming to clean places. We may come for the word of God, but people who don't know God as their personal Savior, they're going to be looking. Are the toilets clean? And has the floor been vacuumed? You say, nuh-uh. Yeah. You go to a restaurant. The food might be good, but if the facilities are dirty, do you go back? Probably not. Maybe you'll go and just, can I get it to go? Some just don't even go. So folks, if people look at that when they're getting physical food, people look at that when they're getting spiritual food. Every job is important in our church, and we shouldn't just do the things that are looked on or glorified. We should just be willing to do all the things. But our church has a purpose, and I think that this church is fulfilling this purpose. So I'm not getting on to you. I'm encouraging you to continue to be a lighthouse here in Temecula. Now, Brother Rancho, how old is this church, I guess you would say this? 31 years. So for 31 years, you guys have been a light in the Temecula area. People know the name Calvary Baptist Church, because somebody has gone soul winning, you've done different activities, maybe different promotions, and people know that there's a church here. There's a light shining out of here, and that's good, folks. It needs to continue. But sometimes not everybody's doing their part. Or sometimes we don't do our part to the fullest potential. So wherever it is that you fit in this message, don't take offense, just listen and take it. I was preaching at a church, and somebody came up to me, man, brother, you preach hard. I was like, hun, did I do something? It's like, no, I'm going to be honest, folks. Sometimes we're used to sugar-coated messages, and when somebody just preaches, we think they're preaching hard. Now, if I yell and jump or do something, I'm not mad. I just sometimes get a little excited, okay? So just fair warning, all right? But like I said, the lighthouse, its purpose is, number one, we're going to go over these 3 points. The lighthouse, its purpose is to shine the light on the danger. Shine light on danger. Sometimes sailors are out at sea, and unless they have a light from something in the middle of a storm, they don't see the rocks. They don't see how close they are to the shore, or they don't see the reef that they're coming upon. But when that light shines, all of a sudden in front of their bow, they said, rock ahead! And they know we must turn to prevent collision, to prevent certain death, or at least danger and damage to ourselves. If that light is doing its job, ships will be they'll be prevented from going somewhere where they're not supposed to go, where danger will come upon them and hurt will befall them. Folks, the job of the church is to be a light and warn this world of the danger that lies all around us. That danger is called sin. And if we don't turn away from sin, it will sink our ship and send them to hell. It will sink our ship and destroy our families if we're already saved. Folks, we need to make sure that our church is being a light to Temecula, so that people realize, hey, sin is wrong. And not only sin is wrong, but sin brings consequences. And if I continue in this direction, it is not going to fare well for us.
But if that light isn't shining, people won't see. And if they don't see, they're just going to keep on going until it's too late.
I heard a story about a missionary who had preached in a village. And one of the villagers came up to him and said, "Thank you, preacher, for that message. I now understand that I'm a sinner on my way to hell. And I asked him to forgive me and to save me, and I know my destination's heaven now." He said, "But I have a question for you, missionary. What about my dad? What about my grandparents? They died a few years back. What about their eternal destination?" And the missionary said, I'm sorry, if they didn't ask Jesus Christ to save them, they're in hell." And that villager was so brokenhearted, he said, "But missionary, you're the first one that's come to tell our people this. They didn't know. No one told them. If they would have known, I'm sure they would have turned away and gotten saved just like I did." The missionary said, "I'm sorry. It's not my fault. I listened to the call and I came to be a light. I apologize for those who were called and didn't listen." Folks, when God calls us to be a light and we don't do it, it's not a game. It's not like when our parents asked us to take out the trash and you didn't do it. If it gets taken out, yay. If it doesn't, no big deal. Folks, if we don't shine and show this world the dangers that lie before them, people are going to die and go to hell. We need to get active. We need to get busy. We need to start shining. Folks, if we don't warn people, maybe they're saved, but we still need to warn people of the dangers of sin. The Bible tells us, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, God forbid! I'm glad you're saved, but it still brings dangers. It still destroys lives. It still destroys homes. It still affects you, so you still have to be careful. So next time pastor's up here preaching on something and you're not liking it because he's shining light on some sin that you're in, don't get mad, get glad. It's a commercial, isn't it? Yeah. Be thankful that he's trying to shine a light on the danger that's before you, and he's being a pillar, he's being a lighthouse so that you don't mess your life up. Folks, as a church, Calvary Baptist Church needs to be a light, shining and showing the dangers of sin. It leads people to hell, and it destroys people's lives. If we don't shine, folks, it is a serious, serious, serious matter. We must do our job. Sin brings separation. Separation from God. And separation from holiness. If we're in sin as Christians, we can't be used like He would like to use us. You ladies that like cooking, do you pick up, if you have two spoons and you're doing some cooking, do you pick up the spoon that's dirty or the spoon that's clean? It's like, it depends who I'm cooking for. No. You pick up the spoon that's clean. You pick up the spoon that's clean. Guys, when you're working and you're working mechanics, if you can, if you have two tools, you grab the one that's all greased up or the one that's nice and clean. The clean one, or as clean as it can be. Why? Because if you grab something that's all full of grease, it's just going to slip, and you're not going to be able to do what you need to do. Right? But then we don't want to use dirty utensils, but we give God dirty vessels. God, I want to be a light shining for you, but I'm as filthy as can be. Doesn't work that way, folks. The world needs to know the truth. We have it. What are we doing with it? It breaks my heart when we go out soul winning in Venezuela and the JWs come out in masses. Like a group of 30 or 40, I'm like, where do they get these people? And we got like 3 or 4. All right, guys, here we go. And but you know what? We can't get discouraged and we can't stop. Pastor, are you going to go that way? Yep. Why? Because we have the truth and they have a lie, so they need to hear it. So we either try to get ahead of them or just take a side street. It's like, you guys just came by. Nope, that was not us. Trust me, not us. Why do you do it? Because people need to know the danger. And they won't know unless we're lights. A lighthouse shines light on the dangers that are out at sea. Folks, we as a lighthouse need to shine so people know. Not only does it show the danger, but it also shows the way. I like history and war movies, and I don't even remember what it was called. It was already started, and I started watching a movie. It was an invasion on some Pacific island, and the American fleet was just waiting on the outskirts of the island, but they couldn't attack. They were ready to attack. They had all the ships in line, but they needed somebody to make it to the lighthouse on that island to turn it on so they can see the way into the harbor. If they didn't take the specific route, the ships would have ran aground and the invasion would have failed. So they waited and waited until these men who had infiltrated behind enemy lines were making their way to finally turn that light on. The admiral had almost called the attack off, but then the lighthouse turned on, and he said, "There it is. That's our signal. That's our way. Mark that heading, and let's go in." Folks, it showed the way to get in. The lighthouse shows the way so people know where safety is. How many of you have ever been out in open waters? When you look around and there's water and there's water and there's just a bunch of water, yeah? It's comforting, isn't it? And then you see it's water, and a storm. And it's coming towards you. I remember my wife and I, on our honeymoon, we took a cruise. And I like storms and stuff. I like watching lightning. And she's an Okie. She doesn't like it. And I remember going out. She's like, "What are you doing?" I'm looking at the storm. She's like, "Get in here. You know, don't go out." "No, it's great." She's like, "No, it's not." She just did not feel safe at that moment, even though we're in a large boat. It just didn't feel safe out there. But, folks, when that lighthouse shines, you say, "Hey, it's okay." That's the way to safety. That's the way we need to go. That's where everything's going to be okay. Folks, as a lighthouse, we need to shine the way so that others know how to get saved. We need to shine the way so others know how that they can know the Lord as their Savior. If we go to Psalms 119, verse 105, very familiar verse. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's word is a light to us, but we need to be a light unto the world. Folks, if we don't go out and tell them that they're sinners and on their way to hell, and the only way they can get to heaven, it's not tradition. It's not your good works. I'm glad you do good things to your neighbors, but that's not going to get you to heaven. The only way you and I can go to heaven is by realizing we're sinners, we deserve hell, and we need to ask Him to forgive us and accept the gift He's given to us. And the Bible says He can save us if we mean it. Folks, if we who have the truth do not show them the way, how do we expect them to get to the right place? We've been driving around all over the west side of the country, and I remember one of the pastors said, "Hey, let's go." I don't remember where he went to, Wing House or something, to go eat. I'm like, "Okay." And I'm thinking he's going to pull in front of me and kind of show me the way. He lives there. I don't. And so we're just sitting there, and I'm like, "Okay, can you pass? I don't know how to get there." And finally, he got ahead of us, and I was like, "Okay, now I know. Now this is easy. I can get to my destination because somebody is guiding me. Somebody who knows the way, who knows the path, who knows the dangers, who knows the obstructions in the road is showing me so I can get to my destination quickly and safely." The lighthouse does that.
It shows people the way so they can get to the harbor safely. Folks, it is our job. It is our responsibility. It is our privilege to be that lighthouse to show sinners the way to salvation, the way to safety. We want people to get saved, right? You got quiet. I got scared here. We want people to get saved, right? We want our church to grow, right? It'd be nice next time we look out, we don't see blue pews. We just see a bunch of people on pews. That's exciting. Folks, the only way that's going to happen is if we as church members make sure that we are being a light and shining the way so they know where there is safety. Folks, if we don't know how to lead them to the Lord, at least lead them to church. Lead them to church so somebody in church can tell them. Folks, if you are being a light, great. Continue to be a light because people need to know the way. Now, not only do we need to be a light to those who are unsaved so they know how to get saved, but how many of you have been in church for more than 20 years? Raise your hand high. Okay, 30 years. 40 years. Awesome. Brother, how long have you been in church? 40 years. All right. How about you, ma'am, right behind him? I think we have a winner here. But you've been in church for a while. So you know whose job it is to show the new Christians? How many of you have only been here for 2 years or less? Okay. There's some. But you know whose job it is to show them the way? Is it what way? They're already saved. Yeah, but the way to live a godly, holy life. That's those of you who have been here for a while. There's something special, Brother Wrench, about Iglesia Bautista de Vista Alegre, Happy View Baptist Church in the capital city of Caracas, where we started working when we first arrived in Venezuela. The spirit in that church is like no other, and we've been to churches, just like you guys have, traveling. There's something special there. Every chance we get to bring our people there, we take it. They have a heart for missions. They have a heart for church planting. They have a heart for souls. You know, it gets to me when we say, hey, let's go soul winning. And people say, oh, it's too hot. Folks, when you got bullets flying all around you, that's when you know it's hot. And you laugh, but that's what some of our church people do. That's when it really gets exciting. Folks, people, they don't know any better. They come to church. They've always been to the Catholic church. All of a sudden, they come to a Baptist church. They hear God's word. They get saved. And what do they see people doing? They see people coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night. And then pastor says, hey, we're having soul winning on Saturday. What do you do Saturday? I go soul winning. What do you do on Saturday? I go soul winning. Well, I guess that's the thing that Christians do. They go soul winning. So you know what new Christians are doing? They're going soul winning. Because somebody is showing them the way. But oftentimes in churches, we don't have people going out soul winning because those who have been there for quite some time don't do it. So the new ones say, pastor said Wednesday night service, but I went to a Wednesday night service and there was nobody there. So I guess it's not really important. So if the people who have been there forever don't think it's important, so why should I think it's important? This is when people say, I preach hard. folks, we need to be an example for those new Christians. We need to be an example for that next generation that's rising up, teaching them how to sing godly songs, not how to jump up and down on the pulpit. Folks, if you train them right when they're old, Lord willing, they'll do right when they are old. But the way that they're going to know what to do when they're old is by us being the example for them. I remember I had the privilege of interning at a church in New Mexico, and I went soul winning. This pastor believed he's going to make his church grow one way or another.
he had six kids. And so he said, we're going to grow this church one way or another. But we went soul winning with them. And I remember when we hopped back in the church van, one of his sons was just excited. I'm like, what is going on? He said, Dad, look what I got. I'm trying to figure out, what does he have? And he had a watchtower, they don't call him a track, it's just flyer, watchtower flyer. He said, Dad, I saw this and I took it. And I put one of our tracks in. He's like, way to go, son. But you know where he got that? Watching his dad. Watching his dad going out sowing. These guys were like, Dad, we have to go sowing? They were excited. Dad had six, so he'd rotate. Right? Today I go with you two, next week I go with you two, next week. And he went with all of his kids. And to them, it was a pleasure. It was exciting. Sometimes, well, if I go soul winning with my kids, oh, they're just going to be a pain and a drag. Folks, I'm ugly. Sometimes I hand out a track and people say, no. We have little kids in our church, and sometimes they have the same track. Oh, you're so cute. Yes, I'll take it. Folks, don't think your kids are a hindrance for you to go soul winning. They are a blessing. People see that and see your kids going too. Hey, there's something to this whole Christianity thing, and it's real, not just for dad, not just for mom, but for the whole family. Folks, when people see us, do they see that Christianity is real? Do they see us as a light, a beacon that shows the way and warns of all the dangers and perils that are around us? Or did you see a bunch of hypocrites? I don't know if it's like that around here, but it's in Venezuela. You try to invite somebody. No. Christianity, they mix it all with evangelicals and stuff. We're not evangelicals. We're not JWs. We're Baptists. Well, I don't know who they are. Well, come to church and find out. It's like, no, we're not like them. Just come. Give us a chance. We're different. It's sad that people have left a bad flavor in their palate, so they don't want anything to do with Christianity. Folks, let's stop that. Let's give them something good to talk about. Hey, my neighbors are different. A little loony, but they're different. They're smiling. They're okay. You know, he just lost his job, but he's not upset and all worried about it. Why? And you can tell him, because I know God's in control. And be a light and be an example. I remember one time I was teaching in the high school, and the doorman came. They have a watchman that watches the door of the high school, and he came, and he says, hey, Pastor, by the way, somebody just stole the battery in your Jeep. I'm like, great. So I turned to the kids. I said, well, I guess we're going to be here a while, so if you have any questions, take your time. And just made light of it and just kept going. But I could have very easily gotten mad, gotten upset. Now, folks, it's not like here where you get your battery stolen or something. Just go to Pep Boys or AutoZone or Walmart and you get a battery. It takes a while to get a battery. You have to find the right shop, find the right one, and sometimes wait in line for a couple hours if they do have it. I actually had to borrow the battery from a church member who has a car but doesn't have it running because he doesn't have the funds to fix it up. And he let me borrow that battery until I was able to get it. But long story short, folks, I had a chance to be a testimony to those students. They could have seen me just blow up. Are you kidding me? Really? Right now? I'm like, God, I'm doing what you told me to do. Come on. It would have been an honest response. But would that have done anything? No. This is that? Well, let's keep going. And they just kind of looked at me all weird. You're not upset? Yeah, I mean, it stinks, but God knows what he's doing. Really? Yeah. So sometimes things happen so we can see if we're going to shine right or not. If we take it the right way, we can be a blessing. If we take it the wrong way, folks, we'll be a hindrance to the gospel. As lighthouses, we need to shine and show the dangers and perils that are before us. Sin that takes people to hell and sin that separates people from God. As lighthouses, we need to show the way to salvation and the way to godly Christian living. David constantly asked the Lord to try him, to prove him, and to show him the way. In Psalms 25, verse 4, the Bible says, "Show me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy path." What was he saying? Be a lighthouse to my life so that I may be a lighthouse to my people. He was a king, wasn't he? His decisions not only affected him, affected his family, affected his kingdom. You say, "Well, I'm not a king." Well, you're a king at your house, I hope. And your decisions not only affect you, but they affect your kingdom. And we need God to show us the light, to know the way, so that the next generation can follow. What did Paul tell us? He says, follow my example. Not because I'm anything special, but because I'm following his example. But for him to encourage the people to follow him, he first needed to follow the right way. Some people say, please turn your light off. You're not doing us any good. Be a right kind of lighthouse. Show the right kind of way. And lastly, the lighthouse gives hope. The lighthouse is a sign of hope. When you're in the midst of the storm, when you're in the midst of the perils, and all of a sudden in the distance, you see that glimmer of light. What does that mean? What does it mean when they saw a lighthouse in the distance? Anybody? What did it mean? There's land. It means there's hope. There's safety. We made it. Folks, we are to be that hope to this lost world that's been tossed to and fro in the midst of the storms of life. And that they may see, hey, there's hope at Calvary Baptist Church. There's hope over there. And that it'll draw them to want to come closer. So they can come into the harbor and find safety. Folks, it's amazing. Lighthouses, as I said, were all shapes, sizes, and actually different colors. Some have stripes going this way. Some have stripes going that way. Some have crisscross. Some are blue. Some are red. Some are black. And the reason why lighthouses were made differently is so that sailors would know, if I come upon this colored lighthouse, I'm here. But if I come upon that color lighthouse, I'm over there. And it could guide them. They can know, okay, I need to go further north, further south, here or there. It gave them hope at night, and it also gave them hope during the day. When you saw that lighthouse, you knew you had made it to your destination. Out in the distance, a big tall tower brought hope. Folks, when people see us, do they see hope or do they see sadness? If we're walking around like this, woe is me. Are people going to want what we have? If they hear saying, woman, how many times have I told you? Are they going to want what we have? Are they? No. If they see us constantly bickering at each other, constantly depressed, walking around like we have a huge burden over us, no one's going to want that. I'm going to stay away from me. I don't want what you have. But if we're walking around with a smile and joy of the Lord in our lives, what's wrong with you? What do you mean, what's wrong with me? You're always smiling. Yeah. Why? Because God's in control. So nothing ever goes wrong in your life? Oh, it goes wrong. So why do you still smile? Because he's in control. Doesn't make sense, but okay. I had one of the National Guards. We have to drive by the post on our way home. And he asked me, his name is Marcano. He said, he called me up and said, Pastor, I need to talk to somebody. So I went up, and he was off duty, and we talked for a while. He says, Pastor, I don't get it. I said, you don't get what? He says, your wife and you seem so happy. You always drive by, and you're always smiling. Is it fake? Do you guys just smile when you're driving and then just get mad? I said, no. He says, nothing ever goes wrong in your life, right? I said, no, we have our trials. We have our struggles. I told him, I said, hey, just the other day we went to the doctor. They said we needed some medication, and we haven't found it yet. It's not easy. He says, how do you do it then? How come you're happy? Because I know God's in control. And I know God will never put anything in front of our path that he will not strengthen us to overcome. He puts things in our paths. He allows storms in our lives. But he also gives us the strength to get over them. He also gives us the strength and wisdom to get through them. So in the midst of all that, we can get happy because he's in control. Now, if you're there because you're doing something you're not supposed to, well, then that's a whole other story. You got problems there. But if you're there and you say, hey, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm in the place God has me. This doesn't make sense. It's not looking good. Don't worry, because even though you don't get it, he does. And he has a reason and a purpose for it all. So through it all, we can smile. Folks, I know a couple in Venezuela, and about a year after we got there, we had horrible rains, and many people lost their homes. There were mudslides and different things. And this family got put basically into an arena. And it was him, his wife, and three young ladies. They had recently accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. They were new converts. And they were living in these uncomfortable, unsafe living conditions where people from different slums were put together. People who had problems with each other were put together, and there was no barriers. It was just one big arena and a bunch of beds all over the place. Well, you had to practice a buddy system for the girls to go to the bathroom and be safe. But in the midst of all that, he had lost the house that he had been working on for so many years. All the investments that he had made, there was no house insurance there. He just lost it. And he walked around and he still had a smile. And people in that place begin to ask him, what are you smiling about, guy? I know I'm going to heaven. What? I said, I lost my house, but I haven't lost my eternal home. You're crazy. And people began to come to church who lived with that guy and his family in that stadium. It wasn't in the best of places. But folks, sometimes we have to be in a dark place for our light to shine the brightest. He was a new believer. He didn't know much. But he had been shown by other men and women who were living right, just trust God. Just trust God. He says, well, this is what other Christians do. I guess this is what I got to do too. That family, about 2 years later, got out of that situation. 2 years living in that condition. Not ideal. He joined the seminary. Graduated from the Bible College. He's helped out many missions, and he is now on staff teaching and doing other, has other responsibilities there in Vista Alegre. You know why? Because even though he was in the middle of a storm, he didn't let it get him down. He kept trusting God and became a light to others, a signal of hope so that others can come to know the place of refuge and the place of safety. And through him and his wife, many people have come to know the Lord. Simply because they just let their light shine. Not because they were showing off, but they were just doing their job. Even as new believers. But you know what's sad, folks? Sometimes our churches aren't shining as bright as they should. Sin gets in the way. The light in the lighthouse always shines. It shines bright. However, if the glass is dirty, the light can't be projected as far as it should be. The lighthouse keeper has a job, has two main jobs. First job, make sure the glass is clean. If the glass is dirty, the light won't shine as far. Are you getting it, folks? If the glass is dirty, the light won't shine as far. God's light is in us. Some of us as Christians shine bright. Some of us don't shine at all. Because we have so much filth in our life. We want to shine, but it can't go anywhere through that grime. Maybe some of us need to get right with God and say, God, I need to clean my glass. Or God, I'm not sure. How am I? Am I clean? Am I okay? Show me, and if he shows you, get it taken care of. If you are clean, we'll realize, hey, I need to stay clean. Because if I have dirt in my glass and my light doesn't shine, people will die and go to hell. Really? If I'm not shining, yes. Really, if you're not shining, folks. My mom put me in a Christian school because of a family that lived down the road, and their kids were in first grade, third grade, and fifth or sixth grade. And my mom noticed something different about them. Their light was shining. She put me in a Christian school. I eventually got saved, went to camp, surrendered to the ministry, and now I'm a missionary. Because someone cared enough to make sure their glass was clean, folks. Kids and parents. So yes, you can influence whether someone goes to hell or not. And think about it this way. If their glass wouldn't have been clean, I wouldn't have been saved, and I wouldn't be a missionary. Now, not only did they affect me, but they affected those souls that have been won over there. Those souls that have been trained and have gone out to win others. So are we realizing the impact that we have? It's big. Folks, if we don't do our job, someone's going to die. If we don't do our job, someone's going to crash. We must keep that glass clean. We must keep our lives pure. But the other job of that lighthouse keeper is to make sure, well, it used to be, that there was enough fuel. Enough fuel so the motor can run and the light would shine. Oil. The Holy Spirit. Folks, we all have, if we're saved, the Holy Spirit in us. But there's a difference between having the Holy Spirit and being full of the Holy Spirit. We understand that, right? I have him because I'm saved. I'm full because I'm trusting him. I'm staying away from the things that don't honor God. I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying. I'm seeking his will. And the more I'm with him, the more I'm filled with him, the more I can do as a Christian. How many of you came in a car? How's your tank? How many of you have a full tank? Three quarters? How many of you are running on E? From here, you got to go to the figures. Now, that car is great, but once it hits E, it gets a little nerve-wracking. Okay, do I have enough to make it? I don't want to push this thing. Yeah. The potential of that vehicle is there, but it's limited by the amount of gasoline it has. Phones are great. You can do all sorts of things on phone. But if the battery dies, you just have a really nice-looking paperweight. As Christians, some of us in churches are nice paperweights. You say, what? We're not shining. We're out of power. We're on E. Because we're not full of the Holy Ghost. We're not denying ourselves to our desires and seeking God's will for our lives. We're not looking to know more about him. Folks, it's one thing to read your Bible. It's one thing to read your Bible. A lot of us, if we're honest, we just read our Bible. Why? Just in case pastor asks us, are you reading? Uh-huh. If our wife asks us, yes, honey, I had my devotions with God. Yeah, what'd you get out of it? Chapter 22 is very long. And that's all you know because you didn't read to get something. You just read to say you read. And if we're honest, we've all done it. But we can't reach our potential if we just read to read. We can only reach our potential if we read to get. To get something, to hear something, so we can have something to give. So folks, is your light clean? Is your glass clean? And how's your oil? Is it full? Is it on empty? Is it half? You say, I'm okay on half. Brother, I learned that half a tank, it's time to go get gas in Venezuela. You say, don't they produce gas? Oil? Yeah, they produce oil, but sometimes, believe it or not, you can't find gasoline down there. And so I learned at half a tank, I start looking. There's not a lot of gas stations on the mountain, so I start looking because I want to make sure I have the gas I need to get where I need to go. So folks, that's what we need to do. We need to make sure we get some of this so we can get where we need to go. Now, Brother Nate, can we get those lights? And we're going to try something here. Don't get scared, folks. This auditorium is really, really bright. Okay, yeah, that's good, that's good. You can you do this one? Ah, okay. Now, here's one light. It's bright. It shows the way, and it's helpful. But what if somebody else came up, and now we have two lights, and then we have, yeah, you're too tall, you got to sit down. Now we have two lights, three lights, and four lights. Now, what's better? One light or several lights? You can answer this. What's better, one light or several lights? Right. This is pastor. That's a church. He may shine pretty bright, him and his wife and his family, but it's not enough for the pastor, his wife, and his family to shine. It's so much better if all of us let our lights together and shine bright in the midst of the darkness. The more light shining, the more we can reach. The further out we can get. And the more people we can warn and show the way to God. Folks, let's get together and let our light shine. So Calvary Baptist Church can be a light in the midst of the darkness. Now, folks, some people say, oh, it's so hard to be a light in the midst of so much darkness. Actually, no. It's actually the opposite. If we have the house lights and they turn on, can you turn them on for a second? We're going to play a little game. Okay? Our lights are still on, but do they make as big of an impact? Are they making a big impact? But if you turn the lights, same lights, it's like, ooh, there's something there. So you tell me, how can I shine in all this darkness? How can we not shine in all this darkness, folks? If we just have a little bit of difference in our lives, we should be shining and people should be saying, hey, hey, there's something over there. There's hope. Hey, hey, they're showing me that there's danger there. I don't want to go over there. Hey, hey, they're showing me the way so I can get there safely. Hey, that's great, but it only happens if we as a church get together, get right with God, live godly, pure clean lives, make sure we have a tank full of oil, and we get out there and we do what God has called us to do. Not because we want to show off, but because we just want to do our job. When we don't do our job, folks, it's not a game. People die and go to hell. We can have the lights. Thank you, guys. This is serious. What I do or don't do affects souls for eternity. Say, Brother Garcia, Ms. Erica, what keeps you on the field when so much chaos is going on? What keeps you on the field when most of my family has left and fled the country? Church members have left and fled the country. Why are you still there? You have the paperwork to come back. Folks, because we need to shine a light. And the place that God put us is Venezuela. The place where God put you is Temecula. Unless he's called you to the mission field, then you need to uproot and go. But unless God is calling you to go, shine where you are. The more that are shining, the more we can reach. The more we can save. The more we can show the way and keep out of harm's way. Are you willing to empty yourself of you and be full of the Holy Ghost? Are you willing to take the time? Folks, it's not an easy job to clean the glass of the lighthouse. It's complicated. It takes some elbow grease sometimes to get that grime that's in there. You know, a bunch of seagulls fly by and they leave their mark. It's like, really? It takes some time. It takes some effort. It's going to take some effort to clean some of our lives up. But let me tell you, it's worth it. It's worth it when you see that couple or that person come in and say, oh, that's the one I invited to church. And pastors say, hey, who brought you to church? Well, Miss Erica invited me. Really? That's great. If you've never experienced that, try it. There's nothing like it. It's better than winning the lottery. Knowing that somebody came because you invited him. Knowing that somebody came because they saw a light in you. But maybe the reason why we can't be a light is, yeah, we come to church. Yes, we know about God. But maybe God isn't our personal Savior. And until we know God as our Savior, it's hard to be a light for others so others can come to know the Savior. We must check ourselves. My wife started coming to church on the bus route when she was 5. You know how old she was when she got saved? 14. Take a little bit. She got it. So just because you've been here a long time, doesn't mean anything. So why is it that you're not shining today? Is it your salvation? Is it that sin you don't want to get rid of and you don't want to clean? Or is it because you don't want to get more of this because you know you got to get rid of more of the world? If you are doing it, keep doing it, folks. It is worth it. It is worth it. And we might not see the results we'd like to see. But in due time, God will bless. Maybe you just bring one person to the Lord. You say, really? That's all? 20 years of serving God in one? But you don't know what that one can do. Maybe he's the next Peter or the next Paul. That's going to go out and do something great. And he couldn't do something great if it wasn't you, for you shining your light in their lives. Folks, it is worth it to keep on shining and to keep on doing God's work. I encourage you, stay the course. Don't give up. Don't give in. And show the way to the next generation. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe tonight, you need to do business with God. You know where you're at along the way. We're going to sing 543. Oh, so quietly. The altars are open. But folks, maybe it's your salvation. Maybe you don't know if you're saved. Let today be the day that your light can begin to shine for the Lord. It's a wonderful choice to know him as your Savior. Maybe you're not shining like you should. You've been in the church for a while. You do some things, but you know you can do more. We'll never know our reach until we give it our all. Are you full of the Holy Ghost? Are you clean of your sins? Come now.
My bondage, sorrow, and night. Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness, and light. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health, out of my want and into thy wealth, out of my sin and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee.
There's still time, folks.
Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into the glorious gain of thy cross. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of earth's sorrows into thy bond.